To thine old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Then along that old cross, where the dear rest and rest, for a love of lost sinners, a slave, oh, so we all broke the cross, oh, he must cross, a cross, I made the I will cling to the old rugged cross. Lord, have mercy upon me, Lord. Oh, torture. Till my trophy, till my trophy, what love can I will cling to your rugged cross, Lord. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to make the dark of me. Oh, so I say, your rugged cross, he must drop in at your altar. I will plead to the altar of your soul. Oh, thank you.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Heal my troubles, heart of love, lay on. I will cling to the old rugged cross. I left him deep something for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Till the trophy at last I lay down, I will that we give you the praise.
Father,
to my trophy at last I lay down. I will plead thank you for your birth. That was the foundation for your death. Let this birth that laid the foundation for the death produce a testimony in the life of somebody today. Produce a testimony in the life of somebody today. Let not one person live here the same. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands. Just maintain quietness. Quietness. He was born for a purpose. He died for a purpose. You can't live here without that purpose. Thank you. You will leave here with a gift today. The full implication of that birth shall be realized in your life. As you was born today, something new shall be born in your life. With your hands and give him the praise right now. Give him a clap and a shout of victory if you will.
Hallelujah! We give you praise, Jesus. Give him another clap and a louder shout of praise. Clap and a shout of victory. What a faithful, mighty, wonderful, lovely God we serve.
Thank you, Master. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead, celebrate Christmas. Jubilate for Christmas. Rejoice for Christmas. Sing for Christmas. Dance for Christmas. Hallelujah! Give the Lord a praise. Merry Christmas to everyone seated here, everyone watching across the globe, and everyone all across the world. A Merry Christmas to every single one, and a Happy New Year in advance. Very, very quickly, Luke chapter 2, verse 4, all the way to verse 16. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Go on to verse 6, all the way. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. The subject is the birth of Christ. What is it about? The birth of Christ. What is it about? Actually, our objective is to understand the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ, which is celebrated at Christmas, is the most celebrated religious event in the history of the world, both in ancient times and in contemporary times. It is celebrated by billions of people worldwide. Billions. Celebrated religiously by the majority of Christians. And even culturally by non-Christians. There are non-Christians who look forward to Christmas, not because they even know the Christ of the Mass. But there is confusion recently where some people say, is that the exact date and so on. Now, the most important thing is, we celebrate not a date, but a birth. We celebrate not a date, but a birth. We celebrate not a day, but the man, with capital letter M. What is important about the person is not the day he was born, but the fact that he was born. My birthday is the 4th of June, mortal man as I am. And when it was my 50th birthday, the 4th of June was not convenient. So it was celebrated in August. Anybody who needed to be there was there. Whatever needed to happen, happened. Because it was not the date of the birth that is important, but the man of the birth. Hey! Hey! So here this morning we are here to celebrate the man with the capital M. Jesus of Nazareth. We are here to celebrate the man who is bigger and larger than any human being that ever existed. More famous than Alexander the Great. More popular than Napoleon Bonaparte. More popular than Antiochus Epiphanes. More popular than Hippocrates of Chios. More popular than Aristotle. More popular than Socrates, Herodotus. More popular than Pythagoras. More popular than Plato, Archimedes. Am I speaking to anybody here at all? More popular than George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And more popular than Isaac Newton and Isaac Watts. More popular than any man or woman who ever existed. More popular than the one who called himself the Lord of Germany, Adolf Hitler. More popular than Stalin of Spain. More popular is God speaking, Joseph Stalin of Russia. More popular than any king who lived, who will live and will ever live. Give him the shout of praise. A victory shout! Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. We don't even celebrate him just on the 25th of December. Every day of the year is his celebration. Every day of the year, every day is the Lord's year. We are celebrating the birth of the one whose book, called the Bible, is the number one bestseller of all books in history. The number one bestseller. You talk about how many Bibles are sold per second. The Gideon's International, I think as at last year, distributed 100 Bibles per minute. That translated into millions of Bibles per year. That is the book of the man we are celebrating today. He shaped history more than anybody, any personality who ever walked on the sands of time. An eternity. Question is, what is the birth all about? I am going to enumerate 5 things very quickly that this birth is about. Number one, it is about, number one, the fulfillment of divine prophecy and purpose. It is about the fulfillment of divine prophecy and purpose. It is actually about the fulfillment of the accuracy of prophecy. The fulfillment of divine prophecy and purpose. There are 3 prophecies
among many that we saw in accuracy, first of all, is the prophecy of the virgin birth. That is A, the virgin birth. In Isaiah chapter 7 and in verse 14, Isaiah chapter 7 and in verse 14, he said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This prophecy was hundreds, I mean thousands of years before his birth. A virgin. Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 23, we are seeing the fulfillment of that prophecy. And he said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. Now, go back up to verse 21. Shakobagadagalaga. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, a virgin, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. It is about the fulfillment of divine purpose and prophecy in the virgin birth. Number two, his origin from the house of David. It was prophesied that he will originate from the house of David. In Isaiah chapter 9 and in verse 4, not just from the tribe of Judah, but from the house of David. In Isaiah chapter 9 and in verse 6, all the way to verse 7, he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. He shall sit upon the throne of David, and the throne of David is sat upon by the lineage of David. In Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 to 2, he spoke about, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Talking about Jesus, the sevenfold spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord from the house of David. Was that fulfilled? Yes. In Luke chapter 1 and in verse 6, 7 thereabout, we read, the Bible said that, so chapter 2 rather, the Bible said that, and so it was that, alright, back up to verse 3. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. The prophecy couldn't miss by mistake. This child that should be born must be born from the house and lineage of David. In verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, when the angel prophesied at first, he said, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. If you jump to verse 32 and all the way to verse 33, he spoke and said, he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David, of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Christmas, the birth of Christ, is about the fulfillment of divine prophecy and divine purpose. What that says to you today, brothers and sisters, is if God has said it concerning your life, no force on earth can stop it. It must happen. It must come to pass. I prophesy today to somebody, the divine purpose for your life and the promise of God from Scripture concerning your life, your family, our nation, our destiny must come to pass. You believe, shout the loudest, amen. Now,
The third prophecy pertains to the place of his birth in Bethlehem. The place of his birth in Bethlehem. The virgin birth, origin from the house of David, and the place of his birth in Bethlehem. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. He said, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, even though you are a small city, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." I'm not talking about a man. I am talking about someone who is as old as God, who will emanate from the city of Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, this is a serious matter because the virgin lived in Nazareth and they grew in Nazareth until the pregnancy. She was still in Nazareth. And they have the house in Nazareth. And they dwelt in Nazareth. But the man is to be born in Bethlehem. Then how is this to happen? Will the virgin and the husband and everybody by themselves just relocate when the pregnancy time is over? How shall this matter be? God knew how it will be. And see how God did it. In Luke chapter 2 and in verse 1. The Bible said, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree, a law, from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Everybody should be taxed. They should go and take census and so on. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. I want you to see the mysteries of God. "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." That was where Christ should be born, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, while they were where he should be born, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, where prophecy said he should be born, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them to in the inn. There was a place she was to be born. And if God had to make the king to make a law, if God had to make Caesar to make a law, if God had to make the government to make a decree, to make a policy that will make the prophecy come to pass, God will make it. Is God speaking to somebody here? God uses governments too. He uses authorities too. He uses political rulers too. He even uses the devil to do his will. For the Bible said, "Had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." When they were saying, nail him, crucify him, they didn't know they were fulfilling the purpose of God. I am here to announce to somebody, whatever God needs to change, whatever laws need to be made, whatever decrees need to be made, whatever pronouncements need to be made, whatever policies need to change, it is going to change, and the prophecies on our lives will come to pass. That amen is not a good amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. See after me, say, God can make the government to make laws, policies, and decrees that will usher me into my place of purpose, into my place of destiny. Shout the loudest, amen. Woo! Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. If this is all I preach this morning, I am okay. I have every reason to believe that the law was made because Jesus must be born in Bethlehem. Am I communicating at all? Everybody go back to your state capital. Everybody go back to your local government. Everybody go back to your village. Everybody just move to your village because the government said this and that. And the moment they arrived in the village, labor came.
And after the delivery, we didn't hear of the village anymore. We didn't hear of the law anymore. We didn't hear of the taxation anymore. Hey! I don't know who this is for, but we have a few more days before the year is over. God is going to change some things, make some decrees. He's going to change some situations. He's going to change some settings in order to bring this word to pass in your life, in our land, in the church, and in our world. Shout the loudest, amen!
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord.
It is about the fulfillment of divine prophecy and purpose. What is the birth of Jesus about? It is about, number two, the incredible possibilities of God. Incredible. The birth of Jesus Christ came to show us the incredible possibilities of God. That we serve a God with whom anything is possible. What are those incredible possibilities? First, the incarnation. Not reincarnation, the incarnation. And the Word dwelt among us. And we beheld Him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was with God. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of flesh. Light of life of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In verse 14 of John chapter 1, he said, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is Jesus, who is God. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a mystery for the immortal to become mortal. It's an impossibility for the invisible to become visible. The infinite, the one that is immeasurable, to become measured. The one that is not localized, that fills the heaven and earth and becomes localized. When I say this all the time, the kind of picture that comes to my mind is as if the Mount Everest became a piece of dust. It entered the dust particle. The blue whale, you know the blue whale? The heart of the blue whale is as big as a motor car. The tail of the whale is like a small aircraft. The blood vessels of a blue whale is big enough for a man to swim inside. It's as if that blue whale got swallowed by an ant. That was what it took for Mary to carry Jesus. God that can't be measured, God carried by a human being. A blue whale swallowed by an ant. Pacific Ocean entered into this pen. How did that happen? How was he able to squeeze himself? The only thing that is not possible does not exist with God. Anything that is not possible does not exist with God. Is God speaking to anybody here? That is the incredible possibilities of God. The incarnation. I like your mind to think about it. Billy Graham said, what Jesus did was that he wanted to talk to man. And man cannot comprehend him because their realms were too different. It's like a human being trying to communicate with an ant. An ant is not hearing what he's saying. So he said, let me become ant. so that we can talk and understand each other at the same level. The mystery of the incarnation. And then the next mystery or the impossibility was the virgin conception. Where they fertilized, there was no fertilization of a male egg and a female, male ovum and female, no fertilization took place. Yet, a child was forming in the womb. And he must be a man. So God packaged chromosomes, messenger RNAs and DNAs, packaged genes and put it in the womb of the woman. He needed to do that because if the egg of a man and the egg of a woman met, that carried iniquity. And iniquity cannot solve iniquity. He needed the blood that is sinless. That is why he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He needed to come with a blood that is not tainted with human corruption. So he packaged perfect humanity from heaven and put it in the womb of a virgin. And medically we know that there is no mixture of blood. Between the fetal blood and the maternal blood, there is a barrier. There is no mixture. There is no mixture of blood. The blood of the fetus does not mix with the blood of the mother. So, the perfect blood he came with was what he arrived with. It was not tainted. It was not tainted. It was not corrupt. So, it was qualified to cleanse humanity at once. That is a miracle. When Adam died, you know when he died? For the wages of sin is death. When Adam sinned and fell, God looked for an animal and sacrificed an animal. That was one animal for one family. For Adam and Eve. In each Israel, the Passover lamb in Egypt was one lamb for a household. In the Old Testament, in the law of Moses, it was one ram for a whole nation. And that was once a year. That has to be repeated. But God said, I need one solution for every human generation. That will happen not once a year, but once and for all. And he came. It was impossibilities made possible. Let me announce to somebody, the meaning of all that to you is, God can do anything to achieve anything he wants to achieve. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? I am here to announce to somebody, you are about to see possibilities in your life you have never seen before. Shout the loudest, amen. You are about to see possibilities through this birth of Jesus. Possibilities you never saw before. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. What is the birth of Jesus about? It's about the fulfillment of divine prophecy and purpose. Number two, it is about the incredible possibilities of God. We read passages, John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, 1 and 14. Number three, it is about the unfathomable love of God. Unfathomable, incomprehensible love of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That is what Christmas is all about. The birth of Christ. The unfathomable love of God. You look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6 all the way to verse 8. Romans chapter 5, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some will even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, the birth and the death are one, because he was born in order to die. Now, look at the New International Version of it, if you have it, or the Message Bible, whichever one is most available right now. Look at what he said from Romans chapter 5, verse 6, all the way to verse 8. Very sharp. He said, Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for. Somebody can die for somebody worth dying for. And we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfish sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. We were practically of no use. In fact, we were enemies. We were lawbreakers, rebels, stubborn. The unfathomable love of God refers to first love that is absolutely unconditional. There are people who love you on some conditions, that you can do this for them or do that for them. There are people who love you. I mean, there are those who have not been promoted for a long time because they haven't done what people they wanted them to do. There are people who love you on certain conditions. But we are dealing with an unconditional love. We just read that in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Second, it is love that absolutely makes no sense. Makes no sense. Investing in what does not hold any future. Or what for the moment doesn't look like anything. Love that absolutely makes no sense. Finally, love that absolutely holds nothing back. Nothing back. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 31 all the way to verse 32, he said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all other things? See the Living Bible Version, what it says. Love that absolutely holds nothing back. Living Bible, the Living Bible of Romans 8, 31 to 32. What can we ever say to such wonderful things as this? If God is on our side, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son for us, but gave him up for us all, won't he also surely give us everything else? Christian, what are you looking for from God that is bigger than Christ? What are you looking for from God that is more giveable than Christ? Or that is less giveable? Whichever. That is bigger than, that's more important than Christ. We are talking about a love that absolutely holds nothing back. I stand on the premise of this scripture that my God will give you a Christmas gift that will exceed your expectations. That miracle you have been expecting from him, that testimony you have been expecting from him, that intervention, that turnaround you've been expecting from him will accompany this birth of Christ in your life. It will accompany the birth of Christ in our nation. It will accompany the birth of Christ in our church, in our families. Shout the loudest, amen.
Take your seat.
That love gave us the gift of Christ. Unquantifiable, inestimable gift. The gift that you cannot find anywhere. The gift that cannot be replaced. The gift that has no imitation.
He will keep you from falling. He will guide till the end. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful friend. He will keep you from falling. He will guide till the end. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful friend.
This song is for somebody. Those who are waiting for you to crash, they will never see it. Those who said, you have carried Bible on your head, and you have carried God on your head, and your life has not yet changed. And we are going to see where you are going from here. I am here to announce to you, he will never allow you to crash. For the sake of his own name, for the sake of his own name, for the sake of his own name, somebody shout the loudest, amen.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. What is the Christmas or the birth of Christ all about? It's the fulfillment of divine, it's about the fulfillment of divine prophecy and purpose. It's about the incredible possibilities of God. It's about the unfathomable love of God. It's about the heralding of celebration.
Say, immediately
there was a multitude of angels praising the Lord. When we read in Luke chapter 2, from verse 8 going forward, there was the singings and celebration. Can you locate it and place it on the screen? And suddenly there was with the angel, verse 13, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying,
glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill
toward men. Hallelujah. Christmas is about celebration. It has happened since. It didn't start today. It started since Bible days.
When we were children, Christmas shoe was a major matter. Christmas dress. And Christmas, how many of you wore Christmas eyeglasses? Just.
And Christmas visitation. And Christmas rice. And may God help you to eat Christmas rice and Christmas kunu. The combination is very challenging. But somebody many years ago showed us the mystery of how to do it. He said, drink the kunu first. They are showing us Christmas eyeglasses just now.
It's all about celebration. It's all about songs. If you missed the Christmas carol here yesterday, 2 days ago, you missed too much. But if Jesus tarries to come next year, it will be a blast. Songs, melodies like never before. Maybe we'll replay it soon. But it's about celebration. Christmas without celebration is a forest without trees. It's a winter without snow. Snowless winter. Treeless forest.
waterless ocean, featherless bird, spineless porcupine. Christmas without celebration, without songs. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How can there be an ocean and there was no water and it is still called an ocean? How can there be a bird? I mean, it is ugly, 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 ugly. A leafless tree. And what is the celebration all about? Five things quickly. Many things, but number one, it is the celebration of joy. Genuine joy. Genuine joy. Genuine joy. A replacement of sorrow. A replacement of depression with joy. The celebration of joy. Second, is the celebration of victory. Victory over the agenda of the enemy on the human race. Victory over the plans and purpose of hell. It is a celebration of joy, celebration of victory. Thirdly, is the celebration of solution. Jesus means Savior. Savior means answer. Where there had been problems and where there had been questions, is the celebration of solution. Fourthly, is the celebration of hope and expectation. He came to say to you, relax, the future is bright. If I can be born in a manger and become the king of the universe, it doesn't matter where you were born. Is God speaking to somebody here? It doesn't matter where you were born, and it doesn't matter how rich your parents were. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can become. It's the celebration of hope and expectation. And finally, it is the celebration of peace. Serenity, tranquility, equanimity is the celebration. Is the celebration of stability. Is the celebration of consistency. Am I speaking to somebody here? And I announce to one person and another person and a third person, every area of your life where the devil has stolen your celebration, this season is returning your celebration. Is returning your celebration. Is returning your celebration. You believe and shout the loudest, amen. I prophesy joy upon our nation, victory upon your life and your family, solution upon our nation and families. I prophesy hope and expectation. I speak peace now in Jesus' name. If you know you are in a celebration mode, can you give him a 60 seconds shout of celebration? Shout of celebration. Louder, 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 louder shout of celebration still. Hey! Hey, 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 hey! Give him the shout of praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory-luiah! Holy glory! It is the heralding of celebration. You will not flow into from depression into the coming year. It will be celebration. I don't know what you have been expecting. Somebody sent me a message this morning. Money you have been expecting for how long? Just arrived. Entered. When he said it, and I told my wife, what did you say? Millions in foreign currency. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not ten, not 20. Arrived 24th into 25th and hit account. So it is possible for things to still be happening. How many of you know that bank does not need to be physically open before money moves? I don't know what it is that you are trusting God for. It may be a spiritual encounter. It may be something that will move your joy to another level. It is not too late yet. I announce to you in the name of Jesus, it is released.
Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. What is it all about? Finally, it is the shining of the glorious light of God. The light shone around the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2 verse 9. To announce. An angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord, which was the light, shone round about them. And they were so afraid. His arrival is the arrival of light. And you know that light is revelation. Light is direction. So this is a season of heavy revelation. A season of heavy directions. As you step across this season into the new year, don't step in casually. Take at least a day, 2 or 3 days. Light of revelation. We are in a season of lights. Light of revelation. Light of direction. It is light of illumination and development. Development. Christianity is the number one developer of this earth. Christ and his followers, his book, the Bible, with particular emphasis on the law, the laws of Moses, laid the foundation for law and order in civilized societies of the earth. The Commonwealth law, the law that our people study, the law from Britain and the laws of all the world, majority of the world, they are rooted in the Bible, the law of Moses. It has been confirmed that there is nothing called Western civilization without the gospel. Western civilization is a product of the impact of his followers in the New Testament. Greek civilization happened, which was the foundation of Western civilization, happened with the translation. The Bible was first in Greek, in Hebrew, then in Greek, before the Latin Vulgate, and then German, and then the English version. It was the template. So much so that one of the great reformers by the name John Calvin, in the 16th century, the year of 1509 to 1554, John Calvin wrote on the development, how civilized societies should function, and was used as a template for Switzerland. It spread to countries like France and countries like the Britain and countries like Hungary and several other countries in Europe. The man wrote how civilization should flow. The mechanical revolution in Germany came after the Lutheran Reformation with the invention of the Wittenberg press that became the first printing press to print the Bible and make it available for everybody. The Industrial Revolution in Britain that led to civilization en masse came after the John Wesley's revival. Remove the church and remove the followers of the Christ from history, and there is nothing called history. There are many people making noise today about Christianity, about church, about things, because they lack zero understanding of what history is all about. Move to the world of inventions. 99% of everything that you enjoy in this world today came out of his followers. This microphone I'm holding, the aircraft that you fly, the two sons were the sons of a bishop that invented the aircraft. Am I communicating at all? Every single thing, and then you move into the realm of education.
Somebody say, what has the church contributed to the world? Tell him, remove Harvard, remove Cambridge, remove Oxford, remove John Hopkins. Then you'll begin to understand what the church has contributed. Am I speaking to somebody here? 8 over 10 of the topmost universities in the world were not only founded by the people of the way. These institutions, some were founded as theological institutions that transformed and metamorphosed into secular universities. That is the impact of the one we are talking about today. You know that 50% of health care provision in sub-Saharan Africa and close to probably 40 or more percent worldwide is provided by the church. Church. Catholic Church, Anglican Church, Baptist Church, Methodist Church, health care. I'm sure in Nigeria, yeah, you know of St. So-and-so Hospital and St. So-and-so Hospital. In America alone, as of 2016, out of 25 topmost largest healthcare system, 25, 10 of it belong to Catholic, 10 over 25 in America. Thousands. This is who he is. Anywhere he steps in, something changes for good. There are those who step in somewhere, things scatter, things are destroyed. Things are ruined. People lose their lives. Every negative thing happens. But when the man of Galilee steps in anywhere, light comes. Civilization comes. Development comes. Everything changes for the better. Will you stand on your feet and give him for me a standing ovation with a shout and a clap if you can for 1 minute? Go ahead. Go ahead. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Give him the supremacy. Give him the dominion. The rule. We love you, Jesus. 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 Oh, go ahead. Give him the shout. Give him the clap. Give him the praise. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. In Jesus' precious name. Take your seat. What is his birth all about? The fulfillment of divine purpose and prophecy. Prophecy and purpose. The incredible possibilities of God. The unfathomable love of God. The heralding of celebration. The shining of the glorious light of God on the earth. What do you do? How do we respond to these things? Matthew chapter 2 verse 11 shows us our response. And it is always a constant. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What do you do? Number one, fall down before him. Humble yourself. Fall down before the master. Delete pride. Eliminate arrogance. Fall down. Number two, give him your heartfelt worship, spirit and in truth. These people I form for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Isaiah 43:21. Thirdly, open to him your treasures. Or your treasure. Open to him your treasure. Hold nothing back from him. Was that Acts chapter 20 and in verse 20? Where Paul the apostle was speaking, saying how I kept back nothing. Lord, I'm in your hands, holding nothing back from you, both in and out. Till I become all you have in mind for me. Till I become all you have in mind for me. Lord, I'm in your hands, holding nothing back. Walk on me, O Lord, both in and out. Conform me, O Lord, unto your plan. Till I become all you have in mind for me. Till I become all you have in mind for me. Holding nothing back. Not holding your life back. Not giving a part of yourself on the altar and holding another part to yourself in the world. Be open to him their treasure. Open to him your treasure. Open to him your treasure. Hold nothing back from him. Finally, release to him your best. The best of your life, the best of your time, the best of your resources. Don't give him leftover energy. Don't give him leftover resources. Don't give him the leftover of yourself. You can serve God in the days of your youth, in the days of your middle age, in the days of your old age. And I'm not talking of full-time ministry, because everywhere you are is ministry. Your office is ministry. Your consulting table is ministry. Your school is ministry. I did full-time ministry as a student. Just release to him the best of your time, the best of your energy, the best of your resources. Don't finish spending money before you remember God. Let him be the first on your mind with your time, with your resources, and with everything. I welcome you this morning as we celebrate the birth, not just the date, but the birth of the man of Calvary. Stand up on your feet. Lift up your hands and let's appreciate him. Draw me nearer, nearer to thee, Lord. Draw me nearer, nearer to thee, oh Lord. Draw me nearer, nearer to thee, Lord. Draw me nearer, nearer to thee. My song every day, my song every day. Father, draw me nearer. My song every day.
sing my song every day.
My song every day. What a joy to hear us. Draw me nearer to
thee. Open your mouth and tell him this morning those four things. I humble myself before you. I fall down before you this morning. I worship you with my heart. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I open up my treasure. I hold nothing back from you, Lord. And Lord, today I release my very, very best to you. I release my very, very best to you. Mashato Paranoia. Up your hands everywhere. Father, we thank you. This morning, I am asking, Lord, that you will cause us to see the potency of your purpose, that you are not a man to lie. You do not play with words. To see the things you have spoken concerning our lives come to pass in reality. Father, we are asking today to see the incredible possibilities between now and the end of this year, 2020, that we will still see things drastic, dramatic, dimensional. For you are not a man to lie. Help us to see your love. And this is for someone. It doesn't matter who hates you. It doesn't matter where you have experienced rejection. There is a love from God reaching you right now, that is giving you a level of acceptance that no devil can temper with. Experience love. Love in this season. Like never before. Like never before. Like never before. Like never before. In his love, I see healings. I see miracles. I see restoration. I see deliverance. Every devil that says we should not celebrate, the agenda of that devil is arrested. This is your season of revelation. Your season of illumination. Your season of favor. Your season of increase. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Let me be.
To receive the touch of God, the touch of His love, the love that sent His Son. At the count of seven, you place your hand and scream, "I receive." And that touch will change your story, bring instant healing, peace of mind, and relief. Lift it up now. Father, let your touch happen on that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. The count of seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. When I say seven, you just hold your head and scream, "I receive." Again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Receive, receive. Receive. Maya ya 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 ya. Le parana gaya da gala da ya da ya la. Le maya na mama zana na da da. Hey, Moshe di alahasha. Receive, 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 receive. Receive His touch of love, changing your story, changing your story. Receive it now. Receive His touch of love. Thank you, Master. You shall be celebrating till you cross into next year. While we are in this mood, this prayer can only be applicable to those who have given their lives to Jesus. If you have not given your life to Jesus, and you know that God is not happy with you, and you want to live for Him and fulfill His purpose, pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and quickly rush to the front. I live for Jesus. Day after day. What a day to give your life to Christ. Christmas Day. dedicate yourself to Jesus. You have given your life to Christ before, but you want to do it again. Renew your dedication to God. Quickly pick your Bibles and also step forward here. Quickly. You want an addiction broken off your life? Also step forward here. Quickly. God bless you. Place your right hand on your chest and lift up the other hand. Please get the clip ready of the welfare outreach. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, louder. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life today. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Grace to live for you, I receive it now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you right now. I declare the hold of the enemy broken off your life. Grace be released upon you. Help be released upon you. Mercy be released upon you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Counselors will go with you. Please let them be right in here still till the service is over. They will speak with you, letting you know what to do to be established in the Lord, how to study the Bible, how to pray.